Over the moon about Mars.
No signal at the moment. Stand by. What are we seeing? The rover has landed right side up.
5 years ago, it was a wing and a prayer and a room full of screaming geeks. Today, Spirit and Opportunity have left human-robot footprints all over Mars. The three-month rovers are still going. Masters of the Universe, turn five on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, January 6th, and we can say they're the robots that keep on giving.
Happy birthday, Spirit and Opportunity.
Good morning, everyone. A new beginning for the Senate, the latest on the Mumbai attacks investigation, and the regulators on the hot seat in the alleged Madoff scam. Those stories are coming up. First, these headlines.
The fight between Israel and Hamas is now at the outskirts of densely populated Gaza City, and tough urban combat is on the horizon. Dr. Iyad Sarraj is a Gaza City psychiatrist. He said that Gaza's youngest are suffering most.
There are so many problems now among children. They are terrified. They're bedwetting, they cannot sleep well, they don't eat well, they are sometimes violent among themselves. Everyone in the country now is so terrified because we feel so exposed, so vulnerable, so helpless, and unable to protect ourselves.
Meanwhile, Israeli Foreign Affairs spokesman David Segal says Hamas is to blame for Palestinian civilian troubles and for putting military hardware in neighborhoods.
We don't target civilians. We believe that the Palestinians are our future peace partners, our neighbors. Unfortunately, the Palestinians in Gaza are victims of Hamas, just like we are.
The United Nations says more than 500 Palestinians are dead in Gaza. About a quarter are civilians. Here in the U.S., the Senate opens for business today. The focus is on empty chairs. Controversies mean Illinois and Minnesota will be one senator short. As for the Minnesota race, state election officials have certified the results, putting Democrat Al Franken a couple hundred votes ahead of Republican Norm Coleman. But it's not over. Coleman has a week to challenge the results, and his lawyers say he plans to. He's scheduled to speak later today.
There's also the Illinois Senate seat. Senate appointee Roland Burris is in Washington. He's calling himself a senator, but that's not technically the case until he takes the oath of office. Democrats don't want that to happen. Burris says he won't make a scene today. He'll meet privately with Harry Reid tomorrow. More on all the Capitol Hill drama right after the headlines. There are two fewer empty seats in the incoming Obama administration. The president-elect chose Leon Panetta to lead the CIA. The former Clinton White House chief of staff was a surprise pick since he has no direct intelligence experience. Retired Admiral Dennis Blair is being tapped for director of national intelligence.
More murky college football championship news. The Texas Longhorns made their case for a share of the national title with a win over Ohio State in the Fiesta Bowl last night, but there's no true playoff system, so we won't know what will happen until the final game between Oklahoma and Florida. That's on Thursday. The Dow dropped about 1% yesterday. The S&P begins trading at 927. We're talking about the Mars rover. Boy, they are above and beyond the call of duty, those little rovers. 3 months they were expected to survive. They've gone on for 5 years. When did you get more than you bargained for, or more than you imagined, or someone served you above and beyond the call of duty? Tell us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
The situation is getting worse. We've got to act boldly, and we've got to act swiftly. We cannot delay.
Today, the Senate formally convenes after President-elect Barack Obama made the rounds yesterday about his top priority, the economy. But first, the Senate has to figure out who's getting seated.
There comes a time when you have to acknowledge that the race is over. The race in Minnesota is over. Now it's only a little finger pointing.
The race in Minnesota is not over. Under Minnesota law, an election certificate does not issue until litigation has been concluded.
That Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and Republican Minority Leader Senator Mitch McConnell. On the line now is Todd Zwillick, reporter for Capital News Connection. He's coming to us from Washington. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning. I got my Mars birthday lapel pin on today. I love it.
All right, Todd.
That's good. Thank you for sharing, Todd. We do appreciate that. But is all of these questions about who is going to get a seat in the Senate, is that distracting? Will that be distracting as President-elect Obama tries to push ahead with the stimulus package?
Well, it'll be distracting this week. I don't think there's any question about that. It gets in the way of some of the pomp and circumstance of swearing in day and some of the momentum of the first week. But the dream of getting the stimulus done by January 20th, by Inauguration Day, so that Obama can sign it as his first act in office, that's not going to happen anyway. So I think the distraction for the larger stimulus is probably not too great, because the Illinois seat and the Minnesota seat and also the replacement for Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, those will probably be settled by the time they get down to the meat of the stimulus, certainly by the time they vote on it, I would expect.
Tell us about President-elect Obama's rounds yesterday, and what was the reaction of some of the lawmakers?
Well, it was a lot of shuttle diplomacy yesterday. The president-elect was into one meeting with Harry Reid, and then out, and then House leaders, Democrats, came over, and then out of that one, then bipartisan meeting, and then over to bipartisan House, Senate, 12 people in the room. So it was a lot of walking back and forth past crowded pools of reporters with camera shutters flying and Klieg lights blaring in the hallway of the Senate where they were walking back and forth. He stopped and talked to some kids. His mood was bright. You know, Barack Obama, we all know already that he's a master of managing the moment and a master of setting the right mood for the time. So he looked upbeat. Now, your question coming out of those meetings, and the real issue is Republicans, isn't it, and how they're going to react to this huge stimulus that's coming down the pipe here, $800 billion, $900 billion. No one knows quite how big it's going to be. And any spending package that big tends to make Republicans cringe. So they were encouraged, however, by this plan leaked, announced the other day, that 40% of that package will be tax breaks. And if you want to know how that's a stimulus, well, one thing that it stimulates is Republican support.
And
Republicans, yeah.
And were there particular details of that $800 billion? And you're saying 40% would break down for some kind of tax breaks. Who do the tax breaks go to, and what is the other 60% made up of?
Well, the brushstrokes are pretty broad right now, Adora. So when they say tax breaks, they say middle class and businesses. There are some sketches that are coming out. This bill is not written, but there are ideas being floated. Business tax breaks for businesses that create or preserve jobs.
Although Obama was saying that these are his middle class tax cuts. This was what he campaigned on. He actually described the convergence between what he called for in the campaign and what he says are the tax cuts needed right now. That would argue for middle class.
Correct. And do you remember the controversy in the campaign? What qualifies as middle class? If you make $190,000 a year, are you middle class? That's yet to be defined. Who's going to be middle class to qualify for their tax break? That's not decided yet. And those things, you know, Republicans love to hear about tax breaks, but I guarantee you there will be a fight over who qualifies as middle class when this finally gets down to negotiations.
So this draft is going to develop over the weeks, and particularly we would expect it to pick up as soon as Barack Obama is inaugurated. But in terms of the Senate, let's talk about who has been appointed to fill his vacant Senate seat, Roland Burris. He is in Washington, D.C., I understand.
Yes, he is, and he says he's going to be showing up on Capitol Hill today. And that's raised the specter, of course, of some kind of confrontation, some kind of camera-ready moment of an appointee, a senator-to-be, an African-American senator-to-be, by the way, trying to get into the front door of the Capitol and being barred somehow. It looks
sounds
like
more like
everybody
a shovel-ready moment that they're talking about in the Senate. they want him out of there.
Well, the Senate Democrats certainly do. I think the Senate Republicans are rather enjoying this whole thing. I mean, why not? It certainly takes some of the momentum away from the Democrats' big senatorial inaugural victory moment of having gained so many seats and getting close to that 60 number. So Burris is planning to show up today. It looks like both sides are trying to avoid that shovel-ready, camera-ready confrontation moment. Dick Durbin, the senior senator from Illinois, threw out a little olive branch yesterday to some reporters and offered to have Burris join him in his office if you'd like to watch on TV, but you're not getting
you
on the floor,
just come
buddy.
Into this room and put yourself aside.
Yes, and be quiet. Well, you're not a senator. You're not going to be getting on the floor until we decide that you're a senator. So we'll see how that plays out. There is a meeting scheduled, as you mentioned earlier. Burris is scheduled to meet with Durbin and Reid on Wednesday, and maybe they'll sort something out.
Okay. Todd Zwillick, thank you.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillick is a reporter for Capital News Connection, and he was reporting to us from Washington.
Blue Oyster Cult here on The Takeaway, and blue is the term best used to describe the final numbers for 2008. The car sales numbers are absolutely abysmal, especially for Chrysler Corporation, who saw its sales of new cars drop by more than 50%. Joining us now is John Wolkonowicz, a senior analyst with IHS Global Insight. He's speaking to us from Lexington, Massachusetts. John, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you this morning.
You know, these are, it's strange to be saying this in the same sentence. They're not unexpected, and they're utterly draconian. I guess the question really going forward is how much of this is a blip related to, say, the credit crunch causing a temporary squeeze in the auto market, and how much of this is a permanent sort of restructuring of the entire auto business?
Well, I don't think this is about a permanent restructuring of the entire auto business. We will get back to the 17 million years that we saw just a few years ago. There's no reason that's not going to happen. So this is a rather severe cyclical downturn, and it really is caused by the economic conditions that we're all facing here in this country and on a global level as well.
How much of the product line is driving this? Of course, when we were making all of the records in the last decade, the profits were driven by heavy trucks, SUVs. Now it seems like the product demands, particularly on the domestic side, have radically transformed. Do those products, these new products, hybrids and others, get us back to the 17 million vehicle level?
What's going to happen also is that come 2011, we're going to be working under much more stringent CAFE rules for mandated fuel economy. So, you know, even if gas prices were to stay very low, which, by the way, we're not forecasting, the mix of vehicles will shift. And yes, auto companies are going to have to learn how to make more money, more profitability off of smaller vehicles. And, you know, the answer to how that's going to happen is really pretty simple. Smaller vehicles are going to cost more in the future.
And the expectation is, again, to your $17 million expectation, the expectation is that people will be getting rid of the SUVs and going for smaller cars, and that's going to ultimately drive demand once the economy improves.
Well, I don't think that's what's going to drive demand. I think it's really going to be simply that people will need new vehicles. The average age of the vehicle fleet is going up and is reaching levels now because of the very slow sales year we had this year and what is going to follow for the next couple of years. People are just going to need to replace vehicles because the average age of the fleet is rising to almost unprecedented levels.
Well, a silver lining. Quickly, the domestic sales are bad enough, but the foreign sales were also pretty bad. Can you run down Toyota and Honda for us?
Well, Toyota and Honda were both down about 36%, which was the market average. The interesting part was that was a larger decline than what we saw from GM and Ford. Ford down 32 year over year in December and GM down 31. What this indicates, when companies like Toyota and Honda are having those kinds of double-digit declines year over year, the market is extremely weak.
Right, it's weak, and the question is, are we finding a bottom here? And, you know, some of the numbers suggest maybe that's the case. John Wolkonowicz, thanks so much for joining us. He's a senior analyst with IHS Global Insight. He spoke with us from Lexington, Massachusetts, about the auto sales. Final auto sales for 2008 down, way down. We'll be right back.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.